welcome to the B List. My name is B, B Grader. I'm here with my friend, also guest.
Oh, I thought that you were going to say gay.
That too. Evan Ross Katz.
Oh, hi.
Can you tell us a bit about yourself? You're a noted writer.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sure. First of all, congratulations on this podcast.
Thank you.
It's really exciting and long overdue. We've been wanting one.
We've been waiting.
I'm a writer and an editor. I write about fashion and pop culture, and many of the things that B talks
that
about
in
his story are things that we share in common. We share like a very similar
love. Which is what brought us together. That's how we met.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, how did we meet again? We met through...
I feel like... It's been so long now.
You followed me on Insta. We followed each other on Instagram.
I was gonna
for
say though,
while.
But I feel like we met at something Housewives related, if I recall correctly. But we also separately have like a friend group in common.
Yes, yeah. And then you reached out to me, and we were gonna write a piece together for Mike.
Oh,
about
right,
Cardi
right.
B.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Okay. Sorry.
I know. I remembered that too. Just now.
We met because I was working on I was doing an interview with Cardi B. This had to have been like what 2016 or earlier.
Oh, before the election.
Oh, before
so it was like probably like 2015.
2015, and she was doing a collaboration with Sephora, I want to say, or
and Gypsy Sport.
Yes.
Yeah.
At the store, and they were like, "Do you want to interview her?" And
Fashion
I
Week.
Knew her only from your story at the time.
Yeah.
So
I would post her constantly. This
constantly.
Is before the record deal. This
no, you
before,
were like on
yeah.
her.
Oh yeah. Since the stripper days.
Yeah. And so I reached out to you, and I was like, "Hey, I don't know you, but I know you've introduced me to this person, and so it just feels apropos that you should come with me." And so we went, and basically you interviewed Cardi. I was in the room and like interjected a few times, but like you interviewed Cardi in the back of the Sephora in Soho and wrote the story.
Yeah. And she was great.
She was great.
Yeah. And look at her now.
Yeah. Look at her now. Yeah. Look at her coin.
I know recently you've been tweeting a lot about the comeback, and obviously I love the comeback.
Hello, hello, hello.
An amazing show. What specifically were you talking about? I remember it was like...
Oh, God.
We're talking about her mother, like who, if we
Oh, yeah. Oh, who would play her mother? That got really interesting responses.
Yeah, if we did like a third season, who would?
And I feel like the answer that people landed on that I love the most is Shelley Long.
Yeah,
But there were some really interesting answers. I recently introduced my boyfriend to the first season. So we just finished the first season. I want to give us a little bit of a break.
Oh, you
break.
Haven't seen the second season?
I have. Oh, I've seen it a million times.
Oh, okay,
he hasn't. And I want to give a little bit of break before. I don't want to go right from one to
10
two.
Years? You want to wait 10
years?
Yeah,
we're going to wait. Exactly. We'll revisit this. But yeah, I think it's such an interesting show, particularly in who likes it.
Yeah.
I feel like when I meet someone that likes The Comeback, it's sort of a shared language.
Yeah, yeah. You either like it or you either love it or you hate it.
Yeah.
Daniel Staub.
Pay attention, please.
Yeah, and you should love it.
Yeah, I should love it. Do you like part one or part two? I mean, I guess say part, but...
Both. Yeah. I like both for very different reasons, but I really... I just love them both. I love them both so much.
I'm still coming off of a high of just watching like 2 days straight of Real Housewives of Orange County, but like the first thing that popped in my head and like, hear me out. A reboot of The Comeback, but starring Vicky Gunvalson. But it's about her acclimating back into normal life after being a reality star. Like, it's a show within a show about a show. You know?
She still doesn't...
She needs it.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't know that she's not on the show. So it's just like there's so many layers to the journey of Vicky Gunvalson.
But like just, it should be like kind of when you're on a treadmill and you like push that button, but it doesn't just stop.
Yeah.
It like slows, cools down. That would be like what the show is. Like, let's just get you, take the like, you know, devil horns off and the hoofs and like, because she's so evil.
Yeah.
Like, she's just like,
but it's like one of those Russian dolls when you come to find out there's just other devil horns underneath the devil horns. Because that's one of
we'll
the really
that too,
interesting
yeah.
things about Vicky though too, is like she was awful from the jump.
Yeah.
Whereas like a lot of the housewives that we've seen the like descent to villainy.
Yeah.
But it's like you go back and watch early Vicky and it's like, this was always Vicky.
Yeah, she was always piss and vinegar. She's just like always been an awful, awful person.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that.
Really? Off.
But obviously, like, let's talk about the finale then. I mean, that's like, I have so much. I mean, just the, what
so
do you think of the season? I mean, you've been following, but like, do you like the season? What do you...
I think that I have enjoyed this season in terms of turning the bus around from like how bad things were last season.
Yeah.
I think this season has been chaotic extremely chaotic.
Yeah, you were saying the other day, like, it just kind of feels like very frantic. The energy is just like...
Yes. I wouldn't call this like a good season, but I would say it wasn't a bad season. And because so many of the shows are under delivering right now,
yeah, that it just...
We've sort of, mediocrity has become sort of like enviable. Yeah. And I will say there were definitely moments, the Miraval trip, am I saying it correctly?
Yeah, Miraval. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's
their Berkshires.
Totally.
They should be contractually obligated to go back to Miraval every year.
Totally. And it's funny because when they did the trip, the Florida, where they go? Miami?
They went to Key West in Miami, yeah.
Okay, so they tried to make that like the big trip of the season, and it's like, we got the trip.
But honestly, like that, like, I understand a lot of people are like, why did they go to Key West? The lo-fi part of it is just like, I mean,
when you did some great investigatory work
of like where it was. Yeah. It was next to like what, a Denny's. It was across the highway from a Denny's, and like there was not one but two Ross Dress for Lesses. There were like
within walking distance,
the police station, and then like a Citgo station. It was just like perfect.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Oh, and like Bronwyn was just laughing about it. Like she, you know, I was talking to her, and she's just like, thinks it's so funny.
What an interesting addition to the show.
I think it worked out.
I think it worked out in terms of we definitely... So it's at the end of a Housewives first season, I always ask myself, like, do we need less of? Do we need more of this person? Mm-hmm. And it's like, she's an example of someone who, like, I can... Just we enough. Definitely need more of. Like, there's, like, more to tell.
It's too early to tell. Yeah. But, I mean, I really like her.
Yeah.
I like her as a person, you know?
But I get nervous about getting attached because I still feel a little bit of the burn from Jules being fired after season 8 of Roni. And, like, I loved her so much. And so I always get nervous after the first season when I like them that they're not going to come back.
Well, so Bronwyn's mother was on, I think she had, like, a spiral the other day, or it was 24 hours ago on her Instagram story of sorts.
You say it as in past tense, but I'm pretty sure it's still happening.
It's probably still up if I look right now. But it was lots of, like, little dots at the top of the screen. Mm. And but she, in passing, she mentioned that production was already asking her to come back next year and film with her daughters, so which makes me think that Bronwyn's probably already in talks to, which I think is a good thing. I think they should keep the current cast minus Vicky, which brings us to Tamra.
I'm shocked to hear you say that.
About no Vicky?
No, I'm shocked to hear you not say it. So you did not include Tamra in your who should be gone. So you think Tamra should come back?
Unless we find someone else that's like willing to like do the work.
Wow. Okay.
I like that this like new dynamic is like Kelly's now not a villain. I hate the villainizing of her. Like, it's kind of like where Dallas is. It's like, I'm so over like the world versus Leanne. It's just like such a tired story. Yeah. But like now it's like Kelly's kind of fits into a new pocket. And now she has like a good friend in Emily. It's just like the tides are kind of turning. And I like that. So I think that like,
I do think too, for her next season, what I hope for Kelly is that she leans into the love story with the man and the friendships with people like Emily and Bronwyn.
Yeah.
And I hope that I would love like a really like uplifting good season for Kelly next year. That's not predicated on her having outbursts.
We're getting there. Yeah.
It did feel like we're getting there.
So obviously this finale was all about Vicky just trying to, I think they're trying to kind of give her a nice swan song and send her off. Like,
it's like they tried to do that. And then like, she was like, I will not go gracefully. I refuse. Like,
exactly. Like they gave you the finale party. She had like had this Cracker Barrel themed engagement party.
Yep.
Where it was just like a bunch of crazy old women that were drunk, dressed as like drunken aunties at a stagecoach festival and like weird suede cowboy boots. And like, did you see there was like a clothing rack with like a ton of gingham?
It was like gingham
and then like a wall with donuts on it. It was just like bizarre world.
Do you think Emily planned the party?
No.
Do you think Emily's ever planned a party? I'm just
I love Emily, by the way.
I know you do.
Yes, it's like,
we'll talk.
Yes. The Cracker Barrel themed engagement party, and then just like the thing that mostly stuck out to me right off the bat was Vicky's brother, who's just like constantly, every time you see him, I feel like he's just had like 5 beers and he just seems like he breathes really heavy and close to you. Like he's like,
yeah,
like he's like, Vicky bought her own ring, and she just kind of gives me this vibe. He's like a, like it's just smoked a pack of cigarettes. Yeah. And like,
and you know what, I recently rewatched, I think it's season 8, And he was one of the staunch supporters of Brooks, if you remember. Oh, God, yeah. He was the one that when Ryan came to, when Ryan started to first speak out about experiences.
Ryan, Tamara's.
Brianna's husband.
Okay, yeah.
When he first started to speak out about like issues he was having with the way Brooks was acting, Vicky's brother, what's his name again? I feel like.
I'd have to look it up.
I know, but I feel like once you say it, I'll be like, oh yeah.
Can we just call him Rodney? He reminds me of Rodney Dangerfield.
Perfect.
Yeah. Billy.
Oh my God, wait, because Billy. Sorry to bring up a dark moment, but I remember when their mom dies and Vicky says,
oh, I didn't Billy! Know why. I just laughed, I'm sorry.
Like, I remember that moment. Anyway, so he was one of those people that was sort of like a Brooks supporter, which I think tells you everything that you need to know about him.
Yeah, taste.
Billy.
No, but he was talking about like how he wasn't even sure that they're like a match, her and Steve Lodge.
It's like, even if you feel that way, dude, like cameras are off.
Yeah. He's just drunk all the time, every time he films. Maybe he's one of those people that doesn't feel comfortable in front of a camera, so gets shit-faced every time.
Right, to like get himself to a comfortable
which is maybe why where Bronwyn's at.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I could see that for a season Housewife, just being like drunk every time.
Oh, totally.
I would have to be.
Yeah, let's make this easier.
Yes. Really easy. No, but then Vicky was talking about like how she found Steve. He came to her because she made Vicky's vision board. Like, she said she had a vision board. Yeah. What would that even like look like?
I'd love to see it.
A vision, yeah.
A sight. I mean, because
like, what would you even put on a vision board to get Steve Lodge?
Insurance.
Like mayonnaise.
Just images of insurance.
Like just a jar of mayonnaise and insurance.
He is so unfortunate.
A sheriff's badge. That's all I think about. It's like a sheriff's badge, a gun holster that's just like so unnecessary all the time. I feel like he always has a gun on him. Does he really seem like that?
All Vicky wants is a man to come in who the viewers can love. That's like Vicky's dream. And so she's in this battle internally because this man that she's fallen in love with has no interest in the show.
Yeah.
And it's like, she just wants to bring in that character and have the husband. She wants the Mauricio.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not going
to
happen.
And I hate to say it, but like, even though Brooks is literally Satan incarnate himself, he was attractive for an older man. Is this a safe space for that? He dicked her down.
He dicked her down. Well, apparently.
He talked about her vagina all the time.
He really did.
Yeah.
But is that a testament to him or to her?
I know, right? Yeah.
I just feel like, and I'm not the first person to say this, but I just feel like Vicky as a lover must be wild.
She's always talking about dick whenever she's...
I mean, she's a very horny woman who wouldn't consider herself a horny woman.
Yeah.
Which makes her even hornier.
Yeah. It's like Ramona.
Yes. Yeah,
she's got the same similar energy.
Totally. Yeah. Yep. I don't like, you know, I don't care about dating. I don't care about men. And it's like cut to, like the super cut is so long, it's its own episode.
Yeah. So what do we do about like Tamrat, Vicky, and what's her name? Shannon. Because I used to really like Shannon and now it's just like, we're so far removed from like where we were with her. It's like performative. It's like the three of them together is this like Tres Abuelas. I call them Tres Abuelas.
Yeah.
We love grandmas, but you know, it's just like they cling to each other to keep each other on the show because they know that their days are numbered.
I think what I would love to see happen, because I would get rid of Tamara for sure.
You would?
Yeah. I would, but I understand the argument to keep her. I'm only surprised because I thought you were very much of the camp.
I was at the beginning, but I don't get me wrong. I dislike her so much for the show. You can just tell up and down she's an awful.
Yeah.
But I think like she's just damaged. I think she's been through a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's why she kind of like does the things maybe or... You know, Vicky is just like,
it's interesting. I mean, like I went back not that long ago and when I was watching like seasons 3 and 4 of Tamara, like in the Simon days, Tamara was so endearing and
you
bubbly.
Were saying that. Yeah. You used to like her a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like interesting watching this sort of like how the show has changed her.
Yeah. She's just like, she needs maybe a break, I think. Yeah. But,
that performance, like during the finale.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that
hiding
like,
in the bushes,
yeah,
middle fingers every 5 seconds.
Yeah, like, it was like everything I don't
do people
like
use
about
the
House
middle
Fives?
Finger anymore. That's like so vintage.
She does. Like
that's
she's like ready to pop it out.
Yeah,
I just felt like that was a strange moment of like they alerted them before that. Hey guys, this is the finale party. Mm-hmm. Something needs to happen.
Yeah,
and that moment that Tamara got up and went over to them.
You already knew what was about to pop
off. Why? And then also, I question the authenticity of that sort of like, all those split screens they did of all the drinks Tamara had. I was just like, this reminds me of that one time that they did that with the shots episode. It was like one one of those places. And I was just like, there's no way they did this. They drank this much.
Many, yeah.
Just because it's not, it was like 8 or 9 shots. And I was like, no one like can do that and like survive.
Yeah.
Like
maybe me, but.
Well.
Yeah. But I you know.
When you go, you
go. That's just like the problem with that group is that like they just, every time they're on camera, I always question the authenticity of whatever's going on. And that's not, that takes me out of the viewing experience. And I don't question when I'm seeing Emily or Kelly together.
Yeah.
Kelly's just like kind of a hurricane sometimes, but it's a real hurricane.
Yeah.
And I think that she's not thinking of catchphrases or putting like phrases on mugs and selling them on t-shirts or like, she's not that girl.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I like Kelly, but I do think that she makes it really hard to like her often.
Yeah.
Because she does things that are so mean. And it's like, don't get me wrong, when it comes down to it, like, I'm voting for Kelly 2020.
Yeah.
But I do wish that she, I would love, like I was saying, for this next season, I would love her to sort of like become, like, I'd love to see a softer side of her.
Yeah. No, totally agree. She's got it in her, you know. I think it's just but just like even on the way that they're so performative, even like when they're talking last night, or not last night, but at the engagement party, Tamara said something and you could see Shannon walk up to her and then instead of having her back to the camera, stood facing the camera so that they could, it's just like they're so aware that it's not fun anymore.
Not at all.
Yeah. It's not fun for me.
Yeah. It's interesting though, because if they were to get rid of Tamara, I think the only way to shuffle the deck and make it sort of still,
there's got to be other women together, in OC.
Well, it's like I would need a friend of Shannon's. I would need a real like ally to her, because I think that's what we're sort of missing right now, is like Shannon latches on to Tamara and Vicky. And because she has no relationship with Emily, and she started one with Gina, but not with Bronwyn, it's like we only have her to really film with those women, and I would love to sort of see a new side of Shannon.
Megan K. Edmonds, I think, should come back.
Yeah.
At this point.
Totally.
She's, you know, it's a lot going on in her life, but I think that I would like to see her and Emily play.
Yeah.
Emily's really smart. She's coming out as like a really strong social media presence.
Totally.
On the show, she's getting a really great edit. Towards the end, she's literally one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Of, you know?
Yeah. I want to see more between, like, and something that was brought up in the reunion was, like, Emily's sort of, like, reluctance to open up to Tamara and Shannon. I think I, too, like, love Emily, and I do want her to stick around. I need her, at least with Shannon, not necessarily with Tamara, but, like, I need them to, like, engage with each other more. Because, like, they're just two of those characters who, like, just never, they don't like or dislike each other.
Emily and Shannon. Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I feel like that is missing. Just like before, like this whole journey of watching Emily and Kelly get close has been really like satisfying.
Yeah.
And I would love that for her and Shannon. Mm-hmm. But like right now it's like, they don't like each other, but they also like, they have nothing.
Yeah, I think Megan being slipped in there would make a lot of sense.
Totally.
And plus she's a detective.
Yeah.
Detective Megan K. Edmonds. A detective and a lawyer together. Like imagine the stuff we'd find out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also think, why is her name slipping my mind right now? Because I love her so much. I want to bring back
Heather.
Oh, Alexis.
Alexis Bellino.
Yeah, because I thought the really great thing about her cameo this season was she, like a scene with an unexpected.
She won't
the fact that her
come back.
Right.
Yeah, she won't.
Yeah.
They've asked her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm so then, do you think that Emily wanted her to film this season and did it as a favor or like?
As a favor. And I think production also reached out to her, but then she just won't come back if Tamara's there.
Yeah.
Now imagine if Tamara goes, then you can get Alexis and
in one door altogether.
Yeah.
I would love to sort of see where Alexis is at now. Kind of in the same way I feel about, well, I felt about Taylor Armstrong until I found out about the Trump tweets. But like, there's certain ones, people who leave the show whose lives have changed so drastically. And there's been enough, like, it's like when Bethany came back, it's like, you feel like you're getting, like you're ready for more. It's we didn't fully juice this lemon. Like, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. So wait, did you come to the party that I had at like Bravo, like before BravoCon? You know, I have like a monthly,
right at the hotel, right?
Yeah. At the Moxie Hotel. And it was turned into an engagement party for Kelly because she got engaged the night before.
God.
And Emily came, Bronwyn came, Leanne came. But all of that's before all that, the stuff that's going on in Dallas with the racist remarks and stuff like that with Leanne. But
Dallas.
But yeah, I wish you were there.
I know. I'm sorry, time, but yeah. I did come to the Dorinda one that you did a while ago, which was amazing. Yes. I definitely want to come again.
So how would you grade the season then? Like on a...
Are we number or letter?
Letter.
I would give this season a B-.
I would too. Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
But I will, to repeat something, I hate when people repeat tweets, but like to say, to re-echo something that I said, this reunion feels particularly unnecessary in that I feel like we sort of got everything out of this season. There's nothing sort of to rehash. And so like the idea of relitigating Vicky versus Kelly to me.
I think the Gina stuff is, yeah. I think they fully.
Okay.
I think so. That's what I'm told.
Yeah. I'm there for that. I just like.
That's why I'm there.
With Kelly and Vicky, it's like you two don't like each other and that's fine. And you no longer have to be employees.
Yeah.
Like you no longer have to be coworkers. So that's why it's particularly funny hearing Vicky be like, get off my show. And it's like, besides the fact that would be outrageous, even if you were coworkers.
Was just like such a spiral. Oh my God. It was amazing to see, especially so fitting that it was on impeachment night.
Right.
Two vile characters really get, you know?
Yeah.
But she was just like, I mean, honestly, whoever did the editing for the reunion needs a raise because they would cut from like this plush soundstage and it's so warm and everyone's on these velvet couches.
Yeah.
And then cut to a back parking lot next to a dumpster and Vicky standing yelling at some production assistant who's like probably 18 with a headset and zits. And he's like, I'm not paid and I'm an intern. Right. I don't know. You know, she's like spiraling and it's, she doesn't even need to be on the show.
No.
She doesn't need it for money. It's just all about performing and like.
And I'm curious, as someone who's like done this gig 14 times.
Yeah.
I'm curious what she thought this was going to make her look like. Because she's someone who's had the chance to like reflect on how she comes off more than any other housewife.
But that's why we love them is that they still have no self-awareness. Right. They're just like, yeah.
But like some of them, you feel like at least gain a better sense of self. Like Dorinda, for instance, in a bad way, but yeah, I feel like
self-referential
and editing things about herself, you know? And I feel like Vicky, it's like, this is still the same fucking Vicky. And I feel like without the sort of Brianna and like sort of other things to like ground her on the show and make her less unlikable. I wouldn't say likable. Yeah. Less unlikable. She's just sort of stuck with this cop. And it's like, oh my God.
I mean, even she was arguing with the production assistant with like, you know, the headset and he's probably like just here to get coffee.
How dare
and,
she's you? Like,
and she's like screaming like that she wants to be on the stage while these other women are on the stage. And then Steve just walks up and he's like, what's the problem? Why don't we just go? And she just stares into the camera. It could be so easy.
Right.
Why don't you just go?
Yeah. It's like, it's all... Everything Vicky needs is right there.
Yeah.
Her man and some wisdom.
Yeah.
And it's like she still walks in the back door.
Yeah.
And that's kind of Vicky.
Yeah. In a nutshell.
I think it was really interesting having her walk out as like in this friend of role with Bronwyn on the couch and just thinking that like she must hate Bronwyn the most because it's like here's this newbie who no one knows who's come on and is a fixture now, whether she likes or not. And Vicky is the woman who comes in for a segment or two. And Bronwyn's on that couch all day. Yeah. And I feel like that fucking burned her.
And I wish Bronwyn had maybe stuck it to her more the entire season. There's so many times where Bronwyn could have just like brought her to Key West and fucking just like.
And I do feel like there's this like, I mean, obviously we know a lot of these women are homophobic. And there is that moment, because we saw this in the scenes coming up, where it's like she goes after Bronwyn about all like, the same set kisses. And it's like. Vicky, like, that's, like, you're being homophobic. Your homophobia is showing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What is the issue if someone wants to do something, even if you don't like it, the fact that you chose to go in the confessional and, like, voice it, it's like, what's the problem with two consensual adults kissing?
Yeah. It makes me wonder about, like, the fan base for this show.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we like it, but there's an entire pocket. I mean, like... When you're on Twitter or you're on social media and you see people talking about these shows, they're usually like the loudest people, right?
Yeah.
But like that's only the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Like there's an entire chunk of people that watch these shows that just like feel the exact same way about that Vicky does.
I could be wrong about this statement, but I kind of feel like there's Roni and Real Housewives of Atlanta fans who are kind of like, we share like a language and the memes and the GIFs. I feel like... and Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. I feel like when it comes to like OC, it's much more of like the casual person who like has Bravo on. Like my dad watches OC, and he's terrible. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad. But like, I feel like it's more of like the bop in and out. Yeah. And there's like, for instance, it's like you just don't see hashtag ROC. RHOC trending the way hashtag RHOA is like if it's Sunday night.
Well, they're all different shows, right?
Totally.
OC is more like a soap opera.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills is like a tragedy.
Yeah.
Atlanta is like a satire.
Mm-hmm.
And New York is like a sitcom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, truly.
Yeah. I would also put like Potomac in a sitcom.
Oh my God.
So good.
So good. And also, there's no show right now that we're in need of the next season of more. Like, there's so much real life stuff going on that we know that will propel. There's so much to do in season 5
of Potomac.
Of Potomac.
Yeah.
Because like between all of this Robin stuff we now know, but also and also continuing the Michael Darby thing, but then the Monique Candace stuff. It's like there's so much to unearth.
I love Potomac.
And Giselle, that, like, the new man.
Old man, recycle. I mean, we could get into that. I mean, Potomac. The reason I love it is because it's a city that nobody knew of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless you're from there.
Yeah.
But it is one of the richest zip codes in the entire U.S. It's like outside of Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And a small pocket of black wealth there, right outside of D.C. But it's just like, nope. These women would just be existing in Potomac if this show was not there.
I totally agree with you.
Karen Huger would be fully formed just walking around shopping at Talbot's, and claiming that she's married to the black Bill Gates, and thank God for her. You know?
You were the one that, because I hadn't seen Potomac, and then you were the one that was like, you have to watch the show. And I finally started watching it. I place it up there, only second to Roni.
People are only happy when they watch it.
Yeah.
They come to me and they're like,
it's transcendent. And also, exactly as you just said, it's one of those things where it's like, they haven't got these certainly have inflated egos, don't get me wrong, but they're like not the
they're not
performing in the same way that a lot of the other shows do.
And I think that's what, you know, the magic about like somewhere like Potomac is, right? They don't like have brands coming into it, and they don't really know what they're doing. It's like they're still new to this.
They're so bad at filming, social media,
you know.
It's great.
Like Ashley's always filming in Lululemon leggings,
mm-hmm.
with like a sports bra on. Her hair's messy, and she's in that weird condo. And I can't understand what the layout is with that like creepy old man.
Ugh. I have to say though, you introduced me to probably of the top 5 funniest things I saw on Instagram this year. Period, which was Karen Huger's at photoshopped photo with the windows warped. You posted about this.
Oh, she's so easy to like.
That sent me.
And she sees some of this stuff too. One time she DM'd me and she was like, okay. And I was like, oh, she doesn't get it. I think she unfollowed me after that too.
Oh, well.
I hate that.
Miss Huger.
One time I met like Giselle and she was just shit talking Karen for like 30 minutes straight. And I was like, this is all I've ever wanted in my entire life.
Can you just hold 1 second while I hit
record? So amazing.
And can you repeat that one part again?
These women all like have such problems though, and I just like love it. Like Karen's problems with the IRS. Ashley is just like, we all know.
Yeah.
Do we believe the gay rumors about her husband when he was on like Grindr and
I don't know, but I know that like that is like a family of mess.
Yeah.
And I trying to choose my words carefully. This is probably so gauche to say, but I just wish that they hadn't had that baby because she deserves so much better. And I feel bad that she's now, I'm sorry, Ashley. Sorry, Ashley, but like,
do you think she knows what podcasts are?
Yeah, she knows. Yeah, I mean, hello, she recorded hit music.
Coffee and love.
Stream now, yeah, please. No, but I just feel like I actually such a wonderful person, and it's like I wanted better for her, as I think so
she
many
makes
of the women
a really
did.
Good villain though too.
She does, yeah,
on the show.
Yeah,
I like that they all take turns, but I want to just talk about Robin Dixon because her and Juan, they have like such, I mean, from day one, you know, I don't drag her like on social media, but I do, like, you know, she's living with her ex-husband. They've been divorced for over 4 years, maybe 6 years now, I think, since the show's begun. But I don't quote my math on that. But now they're re-engaged. You know, she's living with him because they went bankrupt from some Ponzi scheme with an old friend I guess later committed suicide after that. It's just like there's so many layers, but like these two Rugrat kids that like don't respect her, they run all over her. They had to move to like the outer skirts of Potomac.
Yeah.
I think it's Hanover, which is like at least an hour away from filming. It's just like, and also whoever like does production like hates Robin. Like yeah. when they film other women's houses, like they film the nice exterior, they look like gingerbread houses.
Even the music for Robin's like a little
like clown music, right? It's just like, but like everybody else, they do like nice pan shots of like Karen's exterior of her house.
Yeah.
Karen's the backyard house pool, and the cryon. Like... Yeah, exactly. And then they show Robin's and they make sure to get a 360.
Yeah.
They go around that shit and it's like they show the aluminum siding. They show a construction site in the back. It's like,
yeah.
They show her Nissan Altima parked in the front.
Oh my God. Nothing was sadder than hearing how much effort she put into the house and how little money she made flipping it. It was like, just thinking about that. Yeah, I mean, like that was like sort of a booking gig for Lisa Vanderpump. And it was just like, wow. Like,
they show her like one episode was like her storyline was just like renovating her closet, which is like those like wire shelving unit things. I'm just like, this can't be real.
No, I mean, she has that very Gina from OC energy of like, here's some Cheetos spawn. And it's just like, wow. Like,
just like constantly barefoot. And liking
silly barefoot,
just like sitting on the ground, a cracked iPhone screen.
Yep.
Just shooting the shit with Giselle, talking shit about Karen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, destitute.
Give us. Do you think? So wait. Do you think we're getting season 5 at the top of 2020, or like soon?
I think in the spring. Okay. Yeah, I'd imagine.
I'm ready.
Hopefully sooner. I'm so ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, they say now she's not doing. I mean, I think she's doing flipping houses, but I think she's starting a fashion line.
I did hear about that. I did hear it's about that.
Not at all what you expect or want from her. Literally the fashion line that no one asked for.
No. It's interesting, too, because at least in the case of Dorit, I can understand there being a woman out there seeing all of Dorit's looks every week and being like, okay.
Aspirational.
Yeah, I want that. With Robin.
I've never seen Robin out of a hoodie.
Yeah. I always come back to that one with the outfit that she wore to ride the horses in the water and on the trip in season 4.
Was it the, like a fish net or is it like
It was like transparent. She's a beautiful
woman.
She's
gorgeous.
Like, well, all of the Potomac women are like
probably the most gorgeous, naturally beautiful cast.
Absolutely, and I swear, like Monique Samuels is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. Monique Samuels,
stunning, and she could drag a bitch. And she can fight.
Yes. We really have gotten – Monique is a gift that's really given us a lot, especially when you think about her entrance in season 2 and sort of like how she first started on the show is like really demure and kind of like, you know, the new girl in town. Uh-huh. And she quickly established herself as not the one. And
she did it the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love Monique. And I'm optimistic this is going to be a good season. She's 3 homes.
I have 3 homes.
Like, all right.
God, I love her.
And how soft it is. Like, it's not like, oh, I've got 3 homes. It's like, I've got 3 homes.
But see, that's what I love about Potomac, right? It's like, it's such a, like, people that watch Housewives, like, on a surface level, they think that, like, oh, Atlanta, Potomac, they're kind of one and the same when they're completely different. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, no. Like, Atlanta's just kind of, like, louder shade. This is, like, more like aunties, like, church aunties that are, like, shade that you don't even realize until 3 episodes later, you know?
And also Atlanta's extremely campy at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, earlier this season with Cynthia ripping off the wig, it's like Cynthia scripted that scene so it would be a gif.
Yeah.
Like that was written, Cynthia sat there before production arrived in her journal, writing it out. It was like, oh, you know, have one of those like Kim G, like, oh my God moments. Like,
yes.
Look what I just cooked up.
Do you like Atlanta right now?
No.
Yeah, we're the same. I think, you know, I haven't really, honestly, unpopular opinion here, I haven't enjoyed Atlanta in years.
I agree.
I haven't. Since now that I'm actually, like, looking at it, I'm like, oh, this is, I've just been going through it, but I haven't, like, enjoyed it.
I feel like we, like, totally peaked.
Haven't been living.
No. We totally peaked with the Phaedra stuff on that finale. And we just, it's almost like we came back to it. Like, that was it. It was done.
We haven't addressed the fact that, like, Phaedra brought something that no one is able to bring and has not brought since.
Absolutely.
And her presence is now really...
Absolutely. Yeah. And also, I mean, there's a lot of problems with the current show that a lot of, too, that, like, people seem to be liking it from what I'm seeing online, and I'm like wondering like if they really like it or if they've convinced themselves they like it, or if like, again, if mediocrity is sort of the norm now. Mm-hmm. But like Eva is a particular housewife for me that like has never gelled. I've never been into anything she's on, minus maybe the Marlowe car business.
Yeah. Wait, the when they were in the van.
And she drags her. Yeah. That was fun, but that was very friend of behavior.
That was a shining moment.
Yeah.
But she is a, what I like to call it, a testimonial warrior. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't film well. Like, she doesn't, like, she's not great at confrontation, especially when the women, like, call her bluff or, like, call her on her shit. Yeah. And she just kind of all of a sudden has amnesia, doesn't remember what she said. But then when she gets in these interviews, she has, like, she glows. She's, like, amazing.
Yeah.
She's got those reads.
Yeah, that's true. That's really true.
She's clever. Yeah. But I think that she doesn't film well in the moment with these women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, her moments of, like, scripting herself. When she was at the lunch and she was like, I'm going to go finish my meal by the bar so I don't have to sit with Marlo.
That was comical. That was good, though.
It was, like, good, but I'm also, like, what
crossing her legs, like, sitting at some trough, just, like, eating the rest of her shrimp or whatever, like, it was alone.
In those moments, I'm kind of, like, I agree. It's like there is something funny about it, but I appreciate the authentic moments more, and she doesn't bring authenticity.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them.
It's Tanya time.
It's Tanya time. It's truly Tanya time. Suntory time.
Love Tanya.
Love her.
Oh my God. I'm also surprised that Yovana was able to get a second season.
Yovana, that bitch from Clark.
Yeah.
CAU. I'm Yovana.
I'm Yovana. She really came back.
There's a lot of players. That's
a lot of players. Yeah.
Like, it's hard to keep up. Like, every time I'm watching, there's like 15 women.
And now we're getting like Todd's daughter.
And everybody has and like little cryons, and like, it's just like Shamia's here.
Yes.
And Shamia is like Russian dolls. It's just like, you pull out another one, and they just keep like, then this is my cousin. And then like Portia's sister there.
But then
now Portia's nanny too. And now we have kids in the game. It's just like, it's getting a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we haven't had Candy's mom in a long time.
But I think they don't really know what to do, so they're just kind of throwing everyone in a pot and follow the drama.
I think there's something interesting about, like, do you think that Kenya and Nini both filmed this season knowing that, like, do you think that they filmed it with the impression that they were both, like, the queens of the season?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. I think Nini knew because... for Kenya's casting, that this is what production was trying to angle, especially because they're clearly not happy with her. She wasn't in most of the season so far.
Right.
And I think Kenya coming back is just like...
It just seems like, I'm curious, in my mind, I would have thought the network's like, we want to bring Kenya back, and Nini would have been like, it's either her or me. I feel like that's the Nini that I know behind the... Not that I do not know Nini.
Behind the scenes.
But like...
Do you know Nini?
I have interviewed her once.
Do you know Nene?
But like...
We know Nene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? But no, I don't know her, but... I'm just curious, like, it seems odd that she would be okay with holding a peach with Kenya. I feel like that she thinks she's too good for that.
I think she's so stubborn that she'd stay until they finally stop calling her back. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, something Sarah Galley...
like, so sad about it.
So sad. Sarah Galley said something interesting that I thought was so smart, where she was like...
Friend of the show, Andy's Girls.
Friend Sarah of the Galley. Show. She was saying, because we were talking about the red dress incident recently.
The Spanish dress.
Yeah,
she calls it the Spanish dress.
Yeah, and the whole feud between Nini and Andy. And it was like, there's a world in which Nini, like, showed up on Watch What Happens Live wearing the dress and was like, third time's a charm, bitch.
Yeah.
And it's like that side of Nini, that sort of like...
It's like lost. There's not, there's no joy in her anymore. Like, I don't actually enjoy watching her.
And the weird thing is, it's like, here Greg is cancer free. This should be such a joyous time. This is the rebound season. And it's like, we're just sinking lower into the tar pit.
Yeah, she just, like, brings everything down. I think this is probably... I would like it to be her last season, but...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. We'll see about that. If you look across the board, though, like, with Vicky and with Vanderpump and Nini and Bethany, it's like, we're really... The OGs are exiting through the gift shop.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really watch... Like, I don't enjoy watching Beverly Hills.
No.
I don't really enjoy it. I'm going to watch this new season, but I'm not, like... it feels like work. I mean, I like Garcelle.
You love Garcelle.
We're a fan of her work from NYPD Blue, Garcelle.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some other woman, Sutton.
Sutton, yeah.
I'm not moved.
Yeah, worried about Sutton.
Yeah.
Again, with the fact that they would bring Teddy back again is very telling, sort of about a lack of taste.
And I hate, up and down. And I hate a pregnancy storyline.
Oh, I hate a pregnancy.
Yeah. I hate a wedding. I hate a pregnancy.
Yes. And also, like, Kyle's at her worst when she's with Teddy. That's like a very, I was going to say nuclear friendship, but nuclear friendships are interesting.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like,
it's just energy. One of those friendships where it's like, I need, with Beverly Hills more than any other franchise, there are so many old players that I want to bring back into the fold.
Yeah. There's so many interesting people.
And none of them are Camille Grammer.
Oh, you're not into Camille.
I'm into Camille of season one and two. Okay, and three, excuse me.
We're maybe going to get that back.
Maybe, but like, it's almost, it's like Camille has very Danielle Staub energy, which is just like, you are still here.
Yeah, yeah.
Pay attention, please.
Danielle. I love New Jersey so much.
I like New Jersey.
Yeah. Are you watching any other shows?
Any, like, period or Bravo centric?
Outside of Bravo, because I can't speak to any other shows. I mean, I'm going to start watching Love and Hip Hop again. I haven't watched it in many, many years. But
only other thing I watch Instant Hotel.
What is that?
It's a Netflix show about that I'm really, really into. It's like Airbnbs where all these people go to each other's Airbnbs and then, like, rate them. Highly recommend. It's like, and then I also do 90 Day Fiancé.
Okay. I haven't watched that. People keep telling me.
I would be curious for your take on it because it's not always good. When there's characters that you're invested in, you'll go, like, they have a lot of Russell Armstrong types on the show.
Oh, wow.
Which is just like, here is this man. Like, why is he?
I did not expect that. Wow.
Like, there's a lot of that.
Dark. Yeah.
It's often dark. Yeah. Okay. And also, you see these, like, this is going to sound weird, but with 90 Day, it's like, they're these disgusting men.
They're British, right?
No, they're from all over. They're these disgusting men, but
the British one is, what's Love Island?
Oh, Love Island. Also good.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
But with 90 Day, it's like, they're these awful men, but they, like, love these women in the creepiest way, but, like, they're, like, well-intentioned, and it's, like, it's just sort of, like, this moral mess.
I love that.
But it's kind of fun.
What
but
is
like,
that on? That's not...
TLC.
TLC.
But it's Hulu. I watch it on Hulu.
Okay.
And then other than that, like, serious shows,
Hulu's just one of those things I pay for but don't watch. But I'll have to... Yeah.
Other than that, like, The
one
Crown.
One of the 50 streaming...
Succession. You know, all, like, the stuff straight people watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just waiting for Pose to come back.
The stuff gay people watch.
Yes. I don't know if it's going to put me through it, though. Last season, I don't know. And Blanca's time, I think, is, like, running out.
I'm curious if the show can refine some of what I fell in love with in season one. That I think I understood where the show was going and sort of, like, widening the lens. But I actually sort of missed the... season one felt much more building around something, and season two felt a little bit more sprawling. And I like the contained energy of season one a bit more.
Okay, yeah. I think they filmed it in, like, a shorter time. I mean, it's a pilot season, so yeah, usually that's going to be... Yeah, I get that.
But also just, like, any time that there's more of these... And also, I'm going to miss Angelica Ross.
Yeah. I mean, that episode took it out of me.
But I just think that is a cast of stars, and it's just fun to see stars.
And I think there's going to be so many more people. I mean, just based on the subject matter, there's going to have to be people that kind of go away and then new people that come in. So,
and it's fun to see the fashion world kind of give India Moore their flowers, because, like, India Moore is super and just a really exciting person to see succeeding.
Yeah. I liked hearing her speak in general. Like, I've seen tons of panels with her and stuff.
Yeah.
She was really good. And, Queen and Slim. Have you seen that?
No, not yet. I've heard a ton about it.
It's amazing.
Interesting.
It's not the best film I've seen all year, but no film made me feel that way.
Yeah. I heard some people that didn't love the ending. Is that track
for
you?
I mean, why would you? It's like, if you have a heart, but it's like, if you have a heart and feelings, but it's just like, oh my God, it ended me.
I love hearing...
I don't think it could have ended any other way.
Yeah.
I don't think it could have ended. It's a story about, like, you know, surviving in America as a black person. So it's not going to have a...
Yeah.
You know,
I loved hearing Lena Waithe talk about the soundtrack. That got me really excited about the movie. The
soundtrack was amazing. Yeah, the score was by Blood Orange.
Yeah.
Def Hines, yeah. So good.
Oh my God, he's so hot.
I'm still on Hustlers. That was maybe my favorite film I saw all year. People didn't believe me either.
Yeah. You were on that, like,
quickly. Like, I was being paid. Yeah.
But I feel like because you love Cardi, and so as soon as that announcement came out, it was kind of like...
It had nothing to do with Cardi.
Oh,
like,
really?
She's only in it. I mean, you saw it, right?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, wow. should go home.
I know. I go home right now.
And start, come back. And she's only in it for like maybe 4 or 5 minutes. It's such a minimal role. Lizzo as well, but it has nothing to do with them. But it's more just the, I like that it's like, what is it? The Bechdel test? Is that?
Oh, yeah. The Bechdel. Yeah.
Where it's like women can be,
can't
be on screen for longer than what? Four minutes without mentioning a man?
Without mentioning, God, what is it?
There's no men in this movie except they're used as like props.
Yeah, it's to like, use.
And kind of, you know.
I'm sure this movie more than passes the Bechdel test.
Yeah, but that's what I loved about
it. I do know that one line though that I love. When she's wearing the fur on the roof and she says, "Come into my fur" or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like something like that. And her delivery of that, like that, I do know and that I do love. And I'm fully on board with the energy of let's get Jennifer Lopez her Oscar.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. There's like certain movies like you don't have to see in order to like vibe with like the sentiment. And it's like anything that's like going to give Jennifer Lopez her flowers.
I mean,
like,
and it's really a period piece. I mean, it was about what I think the years cover like 2003 to 2009, which is wow.
Yeah.
The music and the.
Yeah. I am worried though, because they're doing the Anna Delvey. They're turning that article into a movie, and it's like I worry that like
what period was that?
That's now. Like the article came out this year.
That's
and,
right, yeah.
Yeah, and they're now making they're like in production or something, but it's like I think Hustlers is what is it, the exception that proves the rule? So wait. I'm trying to sound smart and it's gonna make me sound even stupider. No, but I think that with Hustlers, like that is a rare instance of an article kind of working in terms of like bringing it to life.
Yeah.
I'm worried about the Anna Delvey thing in terms of like this new precedent of like people.
Do we know who's playing her?
No, I don't think we know yet.
Yeah.
But it's also like, cause you know, same writer. Oh, interesting. Hmm. Okay, so I remain worried. But also, Hustlers is really good, so maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, and when I go to the movies, I just want to see, like, garbage, usually.
Yeah.
Like, probably, the next movie I'll see at the movie theater will be Wonder Woman. Yes. Like, I don't really typically go and see, you know.
Yeah, yeah, highbrow cinema.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, low-high with me. I, like, either watch All Housewives or, like, a VH1 show and then a constant cry-on of the news.
Yeah.
I'm watching the news or Bravo.
Yeah.
Or my own stories.
Yeah.
On Instagram, so.
Totally.
So, with New Jersey, are you following?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, I love Margaret.
She's
one of my like all-time favorites.
I feel like you and I have liked her from the jump.
Yeah. Yeah. People didn't believe it. They never listen.
Yeah.
But then 3 years later, they're like, you know, they don't get it. I'm like, just stay with it. Let her marinate. That's what I said about Emily from OC.
Yeah.
I said, just give her one more season. They need to marinate.
Thank God they gave Emily that second season. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. That's scary sometimes when you like write people off and you think like, what if we had not given her, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
I knew Karen Huger was going to be a star from the beginning.
Absolutely.
But now I'm going on Karen again, and I love her so much.
Love her. Get her on here.
Yeah, we will. If she starts talking to me again, I don't know. I think I've made fun of her, like, wigs a little too much.
I feel like if you just go in and it's like, we want to do an interview about LaDom.
About LaDom, and she's in. Yeah, she's like,
she's on the next Amtrak. Yes. Like.
Oh, that's my favorite, is her, like, Amtrak stories. Yeah. I can just, like, talk about that. So she's, like, doing her hair on the Amtrak on the way. Hey guys, it's Karen on my way to the city for an important meeting. Do you know this?
Yeah, story? I know from you.
I post it all the time. Oh my God. I'll post it on Instagram for you guys to see. I have
so
to
good. And wait, and then the what happens at the end? Like
the guy comes next to her. He's like, "Hey, is anyone sitting there?" And she cuts
and it cuts off at like the exact perfect moment.
It's so perfect.
Yeah,
I love the Potomac women take the Amtrak back.
Oh
and
my
it's
God,
just, like, so pedestrian.
Yeah.
But
extremely powerful.
Oh, like in her like a blazer and leggings.
Yeah.
Literally curling her.
Ready to take on the day. But the good thing about her is
gal on the go. She's like a working gal from the 80s, like running shoes and a business.
Oh my God. But like the LaDom's in Bloomingdale's, right? I think it's
Bloomingdale's.
Yeah, and it's like at the end of the day.
I don't think it's every Bloomingdale's though.
But even so, it's like the fact that she got it in Bloomingdale's like is a big deal. And so what I kind of love about Karen Huger is like at the end of the day, it's like LaDom is LaDom. And it's like not and like for a person to make a fragrance and within a year have it be and even if it's one Bloomingdale's, like not for nothing,
and
Ms. Huger delivers.
And every review that I've seen of it, or like when I've listened to a show and they review it. It's like it's raving reviews.
Yeah.
They're like,
I mean,
it smells really nice.
Good for
and it
her.
Doesn't smell like an old lady at all.
Totally. And I think in terms of all of the women who have done sub businesses and things like branded, I think the idea of like doing a fragrance is, it's a very like great aspiration.
And you know what? I like the bottle.
Yeah.
I think it looks pretty.
Totally. And a good name.
I'd wear it.
I'd wear it.
And I've even smelled it and I'm going to ask for it for Christmas.
Now I'm kind of thinking about like who I could gift it to for the holidays. So this is interesting.
My mom would wear it just out of guilt.
Totally. Yeah. Just be like, this is this hot new fragrance everyone's talking about.
That's another thing. I mean, we're kind of getting off track here, but I just wanted to, we're going all over the place today, but I know it's totally fine. It's me. I'm just like living this like weird kinetic energy of like, but I wanted to talk about housewife products because I feel like, you know, obviously Skinny Girl kind of changed the game with that.
Everything.
But yeah. I felt like there was like a lull for a long time where these like these products weren't like getting off the ground. I mean, like Shannon's still trying to make that salmon happen, the salmon with the cream cheese.
Just the thought of what that tastes like.
Outside of a Philadelphia roll, I like am not doing.
God.
Yeah, like.
Oh my God. Everything about it is just. This is this classic housewife thing. Is that the
only
one, too?
Does she only have a salmon?
I hope. But there's this classic housewife things of like, I've had this journey on the show, so therefore I'm an expert on it.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is like, so Shannon lost weight and it's like, suddenly it's like, you know what? I lost weight. I should make food for people that want to lose weight. And it's like, no girl, you should make food for you. And maybe your girls, like maybe.
But then they wouldn't even eat it.
Right. Well,
the girls weren't even eating it on the show.
Honestly. I'm still disturbed by that one girl being like, mommy, like you need to like get something between your legs. And I'm like,
she said
little, yeah, on the show this season. It's like, little girl, go to your room.
Yeah. Oh my God. For the longest time though, I feel like these brands weren't like, they weren't getting off the ground. And I'm just trying to think of like, you know, positive beverage that Kelly came out with.
Uh-huh.
That seems like it's thriving though. She's in Target now.
Yeah.
I see it everywhere. I don't know. I don't know if I actually see it everywhere or if it's just that I follow Kelly. So.
I mean, does Candy still make her sex toys?
I don't know.
I would be really curious because that seems like a moneymaker.
There's a warehouse somewhere. Like, there's a warehouse full of like Fabellini and Candy sex toys.
Oh my God.
And Sonia's toaster, she does still make them. She makes the ones where it like some sex toy where it goes inside you.
Yeah.
And then it like vibrates to whatever the song is.
Yeah.
So.
I used to have one like that.
They're expensive. How much are they? It's marked down.
Oh, wow.
Those are the meals are $110. It's seafood.
So wait, is this Amazon?
Is that Amazon?
QVC. Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Huh. So they're buying it. It's being marked down, so.
I mean, I was thinking about it. They said on the reunion this week, sorry to go back to OC real quick, but they said that she's, I think they said she's getting $10,000 a month. So it'd be $120,000 a year in child support, which is like $120,000 with raising three girls.
That's not
a lot of money at all.
In the OC.
Yeah. Like that's kind of really like, because part of me is like, okay, like, do they need to like, because Emily made the comment, it's like, it should match your lifestyle. And it's like, well, I can't justify like, matching like this crazy extravagant lifestyle they were leading. However, like $120,000 for
three girls. She has three girls, right?
Yeah.
And the dog.
Archie.
Archie.
My God. And there's nothing that makes me happier than the fact that like we can talk about Chambador's dog and like I'm immediately like, Archie. Like that's the most unwell of it.
You know what's unwell is like most of the drama on Beverly Hills revolves around dogs.
Yeah.
Last season there was all this stuff about LVP.
Yep.
And then, you know,
Brandy. Oh, we know the dog's name. Like Lucy.
And then I want to forget that name.
I want to forget. The second I started saying it just now, I was like, I don't want to hear that. Like, delete that.
Do you remember the season where like Brandy had the drama about her missing dog?
Oh my God.
And then there was the drama with like Kim's dog biting Kyle's daughter.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of dog drama. Yeah. Interesting.
My dog has no teeth left, so I don't think there would be any drama with Stevie. My dog could not be on television. But back to the products, though, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like there was a lull, and I feel like people just started coming on these shows and not really, like, actively trying to seek out any kind of promotion for products that they either were developing or they're just, like, not inspired to.
Yeah.
Just
well, I think I heard on Come Through Queen recently, Kathy Wakili is still...
Still making her, like, cannolis.
Yeah, you know, out there. Honestly, good for her. I believe her.
Like, I can look at her and I, like...
Yes.
Nothing to do with the peer.
I can tell
that she puts a lot of love into her cooking.
And it's also, like, I want to try Kathy Wakili's cannolis. Like, that feels like something that, like, one should cross off their bucket list.
So, like, what would you buy from Teresa? Like, what do you want Teresa to...
Teresa makes me really sad. So in that I do feel empathy for, or sympathy. I feel something for her and her and her family. Yeah. However, I feel like the moment she got out of jail, the cameras should have exited. Like she should have left the show the second she got out of jail, been like, I just spent all this time away from my family. I want to spend every last moment I have, not only with my girls, but also like not sort of throwing wine glasses and doing and having like being a public figure. I feel like that was the subtext of the whole situation was like fame is bad for you.
Yeah. But I feel like she has kind of pulled back a bit in terms of yes.
Her lack of intelligence makes her a really hard character to root for.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm really invested now in her family. Like I think
her daughters. Oh my god. She is like what a great kid. Yeah. Yeah. And more Melania music ASAP.
Yeah.
Ugh. Please. And hopefully the one daughter will talk one day. Yeah.
The one who like looks like
none of them. Yeah.
Sometimes I feel bad for her because I'm like, you just like dropped off at the house one day and like, yeah. Someone just like dropped her off at the house one day and she's like, I'm just gonna stay.
Oh my god.
Feed me, I guess. Yeah.
And they're like, there's some pasta sauce. I feel
like she's the one who like gets everyone up in the morning and like wakes them up.
Yeah. Yes,
Cinderella.
And then the second the cameras are up, it's like she goes silent.
Yeah. Yeah, like Margaret seems like she's got a lot of products. You know, she's got her like luggage and she's always got like baggage stuff. That's what she does. Like makeup bags and decaled stuff for like
fun.
Yeah.
I passed a Vineyard Vines this morning, and every time I pass a Vineyard Vines, I just think Margaret. Of her. Yeah. Oh
god.
She's probably like she probably brought so much money and attention towards that company. Yeah, they should write her a check.
Seriously. What would you want Dolores to sell you?
Wow.
I think like finely cured meats. I don't know. Just like I see her like selling me prosciutto. I agree. Believe it.
Totally.
Cheeses and like, you know, it's like a purveyor of like that, prosciutto.
Yeah. That moment of her last season at the shelter or like with the event that she threw with all the kids was one of those game changing moments of like,
I love this woman.
I will. And answer your question, it's like, I will buy anything that Dolores sells because like Dolores is like someone who is like contributing to making the world a better place. And it's like,
she loves this too.
Yeah.
I met her on a boat a couple of summers ago.
You would.
And she's on a boat. And we just started talking. And within the first 2 minutes, all I know is like, Danielle Staub is a prostitute. She's a whore. I think she said her cousin was Danielle Staub's pimp at one point.
Oh my god.
Not information that I asked for. I don't even think I mentioned Danielle Staub. Yeah. It was like she was spiraling.
But I agree with you. Dolores Catania cured meats.
Yeah.
Done.
1000%.
Done.
What would you buy from Siggy?
Oh. Like.
Not self-help.
Oh my god. Like. whatever Teresa called Kim D is what I feel about Siggy Flicker.
Oh yeah.
And as a Jew, Siggy Flicker embarrasses me.
It's crazy that she got a start on Wendy Williams. It's crazy that anybody would go to Wendy Williams for self-help.
No, I mean Siggy.
That's not what I go there for.
Yeah, Siggy is up there with who's the New Jersey housewife that she who must not be named that. Marquesa, Amber.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Siggy's like right there, right sitting right below Amber as far as like
super Trump supporter too.
Yeah. Now.
Breaking news. Wait, oh we're just getting page six breaking news. Real Housewives of Potomac star Katie Rost and fiance call off the engagement.
Is this from her Instagram?
Oh my God. Is this a photo of, okay. So I thought I was reading page six. We're reading this from Katie Ross's actual Instagram. She just screenshotted page six.
Getting the info out there.
Where is production? Call Katie Ross right now. Oh my give God. Her read her caption to it.
She well, first says, I have to find her.
Yeah. Okay, Katie says, I honestly don't know a good way to call off an engagement, but page six did it for me. I feel nervous about posting this, but screw it. Maybe it will make questions at holiday parties easier. Since there it is, an article for me breaking it all down. Since there it is in an article for me breaking it all down. Hashtag L'chaim. Oh. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm perfect.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, Katie.
Katie.
Oh, I miss her and her wigs.
I miss her.
What would you buy from Katie?
Oh, I would just, anything she needs just to make sure I pay some money into
color
her.
Color context. That's what she's, like,
I want the best for Katie, and I also, like, it's so easy to forget Katie of season one and how lucid Katie once was.
She was quick.
Yeah.
Oh, she was, like, on fire.
But,
like,
and yeah, I like Katie.
That is not the Katie we got back.
That's not the Katie. I wish her well. I feel like they, unfortunately, kind of, like, didn't put a bow on her plot because they really couldn't.
No,
she was like, Katie left, and then she popped up in the finale briefly.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, like, we didn't really, like, talk about everything.
She was such a, like, a nice spice, though. Like, I don't think that could have happened last season.
No, and I think Giselle and Robin in particular, like, find Katie entertaining.
Yeah.
And I, which agreed. Yeah. Like, Katie made that, like, having Katie in the room, we're all better for it.
Yeah. When I talked to Giselle about Katie, I think before the season even aired, Giselle had mentioned, you know, that Katie was coming back, that she specifically brought her back because she thought that she would be fun to reintegrate into the group of girls. But clearly, I don't think she, like, had really talked to Katie.
Yeah.
It was, like, a very surface, like, from what I gather. And so when she actually started filming with Katie, she's like, that's not what we got.
Yeah.
It kind of went left from there. And I was like, oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, it's who I'm great excited? To see, though.
It's just, like, she has a weird, insane energy and, like,
Do you know who I'm excited to see back this season?
Who?
Charisse.
Cha-Cha?
Yeah.
Which Charisse are we getting? Cha-Cha?
I don't know. I'm waiting and bated breath.
I only want her as a friend of.
Yeah,
I don't ever need her to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love her.
Yeah. Just like a auntie. Fun. Yeah, exactly.
Auntie. Just like.
And knows how to go toe-to-toe.
I hope the wigs got better.
Yeah.
We need
Do
to
you, though?
The...
I mean.
We need someone to fill Katie's role.
Yeah.
Katie's shoes. Katie's wigs.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Cha-Cha.
The wigs on that show, though, that is, like, honestly the cherry for me.
Yeah.
Like, that is.
It's the journey of Karen Huger's wigs.
She looks amazing.
Amazing.
She cleans up.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Ugh. Karen. We love you.
Well, listen, we're heading on to, like, an hour of talking today, and it's been an amazing journey talking to you here. Do you want to talk a bit about any projects that you've got going on? Any,
sure.
Yeah, I know you just recently interviewed the Cock Destroyers.
I did.
I haven't read the article yet, but it just came out, right?
Yeah, it just came out. It's on newsstands right now. It's in the new Interview magazine, which I'm super excited about it because I really like them a lot. And I think that they have a lot more to offer than just the incredible memes and GIFs and content that they've given
us. Really, like, huge gay allies.
Yeah, and... I will hint at there will be more coming from me and the Cock Destroyers together in 2020.
Okay.
Maybe 2021, but there's more to come. More to come. But as far as projects go, I'm launching a podcast in the beginning of 2020. Yeah? It's called Shut Up, Evan.
Shut Up, Evan.
We just taped the pilot episode with Christopher John Rogers, who just won the CFDA Vogue Fashion Fund. It's outfitted Michelle Obama, Rihanna.
Amazing.
All the greats.
It's going to be about, like, fashion.
It's going to be about fashion and popular culture. Okay. There will be a housewife very early on who I'm recording with very soon, who we both know and love. And it will be, there'll be a rotating round of guests. So Cola Scola is coming on, Julio Torres, just amazing people. Not all queer, but sort of, like, similarly to you, it's sort of like the things that whatever I want to talk about. And it's usually got some tentacle touching queerness.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be launching, and I'm super excited.
All of that. Do you know what day of the week it'll...
I don't know much. Okay, I don't know much, but you'll know soon enough, and I'm really excited about it. And I'm excited for you. I think this is such a...
Thank you.
We've all been wanting this from you for so long, and I'm really excited that you're finally doing it.
Thank you. I'm nervous to do it, but I'm excited also.
So. Nervous is good.
Yeah. Do you want to tell the people where to follow you on Instagram or Twitter?
Yeah, follow me at Evan Ross Katz if you want trash.
Yeah, where you live.
So I get nervous sometimes about encouraging people to follow me because it's kind of like at your own discretion.
Okay. Well, if you guys want to continue following this podcast, obviously subscribe. And then if you want to get additional content, which is going to be called The B-Side, you can subscribe to the Patreon. And you can follow me on Instagram at Pet Shop Boy. And I think my name on Twitter is... The underscore Pet Shop Boy. I recently changed it from Marry Me Drake.
I know you did.
Which is for a long time. Don't ask. It's just like the only name. I wanted so many other names, but.
I really like following you on Twitter.
You do.
I love following you on Instagram, obviously.
I don't tweet.
I know, but when you do.
You can follow my tracks of, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I highly encourage dual follow. Twitter,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I love Twitter.
Twitter's fun.
Yeah.
Twitter's messier.
It's
yeah.
Are they getting rid of the porn on there?
I don't know. I keep reading articles that are like, they're getting rid of it tomorrow. And then like another article being like, don't believe anyone that's saying that they're getting rid of it. I'm like,
Porn's fun, but I don't like opening my
phone on the train.
And having like, you know.
Yeah. Porn's sort of fun when you opt into it. But sometimes when porn opts you in, you're kind of like, wait a minute, is this consensual?
And that's a whole other conversation about gay culture, because even if you just follow someone and
all like, of a sudden it's like,
if I wanted to see your actual hole,
fans, but then they'll be like, oh my god, Trump's impeached, and it's like, I'm just getting fucked, like, and it's like, okay, wait. Like, yeah.
Oh, that could be a whole other episode.
Yeah, I mean, oh my god, oh, the god. Fucking gays.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I had so much fun, and I hope to talk to you soon. Bye guys.
Bye.
You will never see my face again. Goodbye. F*** you guys.